Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, May 16th. Happy Resurrection Day. And I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 24. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him into every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for a worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet, as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And now let's turn over to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire, and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them with his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. And now let's turn over to the book of Job. Today we are entering a new book, and so I commend to you the Bible Project videos. There were actually two Bible Project videos out there. One that is the typical cartoon that takes you through the different progressions of the chapters. And then there was an animated film as well that was about 7 minutes, and I found both of them very helpful. They reminded me that Job is one of the three wisdom books in the Old Testament. There's Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. And the main question that Job is exploring is God wise and just? And in the end, what Job comes away with is that whatever comes in his life, good or bad, that he can trust God's wisdom. And I think that is the takeaway for us in the book of Job as well. It is set in the land of Uz, and the author is anonymous, and we don't know the specific time period when Job lived on the earth. One of the things that was quoted in the video that I thought was very helpful, and I wrote it down word for word because I didn't want to mess it up, is this. The universe is a vast, complex place, and God has his eye on all of it, every detail. Job, on the other hand, has only the small horizon of his life experience to draw from. His view of the world is very limited, and so what looks like divine injustice needs to be seen in an infinitely larger context. Job is just not in a position to accuse God. And then the video goes on to ask the question, would we want to micromanage the world for a day? Job, I'm going to admit, is a difficult book for me. It's a long book. It's some, I think, 42 chapters or something like that. And so we are going to be in Job until June. And in some sections of Job, I'm not exactly sure who's talking, so I'm really looking forward to processing this together with you, and I want to invite you into emailing me, and let's talk about Job together, and just, we want to open ourselves up to the Lord and his wisdom, and to really contend alongside Job, and ask the questions, but in the end, to come away with an even deeper trust of who God is, and that he is infinitely wise. Job chapter 1, my Bible says, prologue. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Man, Job, his first act after learning that he has lost everything is to worship the Lord. And Jesus in the gospel today also worships the Lord. I just love how it says in Luke 10:21 that at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children." Thank you, Father, for this opportunity we have to come to your word. We do come as a people, as little children, as those who have no knowledge apart from you, as those who are not wise, but in you have the power and the wisdom of God. We seek you in this moment. Lord, as we enter the book of Job, we ask for your help. Lord, we are confused by why Job would be tested in this way. And we just thank you today for the example that in the midst of suffering, he worships you because he trusts in your name.
And Lord, we recognize that in our faith, we ebb and flow in trust. And we just pray that today, Lord, you would remind us of your faithful love, your steadfast love, your never giving up, never letting go kind of love. And help us, Lord, to be that kind of people for those around us. Give us such a sense of your presence with us and your guiding that we can be for others a light and a testimony to your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for this day, which reminds us of the Lord's resurrection. And we pray for our specific church, Mount Brook Baptist, and for churches all around the world, that you would bless them and that you would send out laborers into the harvest, for the harvest is plentiful. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.